So normally the solemnity of the Assumption, a holy day of obligation, falls during the week. But once in a while, it falls on Sunday. And so when it does, then we have the opportunity to celebrate the Assumption on Sunday. And by the Assumption, we're talking about our belief that Mary was taken up body and soul into heaven, where she lives with God. So the dogma of the Assumption of Mary was officially defined by the church relatively recently. Some of you might remember it in 1950. But that doesn't mean that the church started believing in Mary's Assumption in 1950. But actually, the Assumption of Mary is a very ancient belief of the church. As an example of this, if you ever have the privilege of visiting the Holy Land, right by the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was arrested and betrayed, there's a church built at the site of an ancient church. The ancient church was built in the 400s, and that was believed by the local people of Jerusalem to be the place where Mary fell asleep. It's called the Church of the Dormition, the place where she fell asleep, and also the place where God raised her body and soul into heaven. And even by the 500s AD, many of the church fathers are writing about the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary as if it were something that the church had already believed for a long time. So we're not talking about a new invention by Catholics, but we're actually talking about a very ancient belief of Christians in Mary's Assumption. Also, I think it's good for us to think about how there's no place in the world where we venerate the relics or the bones of Mary, which is different than all the other saints, practically. In the early church, when one of the martyrs would die, immediately their tomb or the place where their bones were would become a pilgrimage place and people would begin visiting there. So a great example of this is the tomb of St. Peter, who was crucified upside down in Nero's Circus, which is right by the present-day St. Peter's Basilica. That happened in the 60s AD, and you couldn't keep people away from that site because they would go there to pray. And they did so at risk of being arrested because Christianity was illegal at that time, but they still kept going, such that when Christianity finally became legalized in 312 under the Emperor Augustine, he decided to build a church there because he wanted there to be hospitality for the many, many pilgrims who were coming from all over to visit that site. So all of this is to say that if so much attention was placed upon the tomb of St. Peter, the tomb of St. Paul right outside of Rome, the other martyrs of the church, but yet Mary's relics were not venerated. Why were Mary's relics not venerated? Well, because her relics were not on earth. Her body was not on earth because the Christian conviction was that Mary's body was in heaven with God because God raised her in what we call the Assumption. So in 1950, what the church did was finally clarified what the church means by the Assumption. So it wasn't that we started to believe at that time that Mary was assumed, but rather the Holy Father wanted to define exactly what we believed. And this is what the Holy Father said in 1950. He said, "The Immaculate Mother of God, the ever Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory." So simply at the end of Mary's life, whether she died or simply fell asleep, There are traditions, longtime traditions in the church that hold either one. We don't have to believe either one because the Holy Father's definition leaves this open-ended. Whether Mary simply fell asleep and was then raised, or whether she did die a bodily death and then was raised. What the definition says is that Mary's body did not experience any corruption, and that God raised her body and soul into heaven. Now we might ask, well, why does this matter? Well, first of all, I think to know that there's a member of the human race, Mary, who's a human person, and Mary who had a body like we have a body, to know that God has taken a body into heaven with him should give us a lot of hope about how much God loves us humans, that he would want to take even our bodies into heaven. And of course, we believe, we profess every Sunday that this is what will happen to all of us at the Last Judgment. This is what we mean when we say we believe in the resurrection of the dead, which we say every Sunday in the Creed, or every time we pray the Rosary and begin it with the Apostles' Creed. That at the end, that at the Last Judgment, then our soul, which had been separated from our body at death, will be reunited with our body in a glorified body, and that forever then will be, please God, if we go to heaven, will be with God in our bodily state in heaven. But I think the other reason why I think the solemnity of the Assumption is cause for rejoicing is worth having four servers and incense on a Sunday morning in the middle of August. I think to help us to understand that, it's good for us to think about what I like to say is the twin solemnity of the Assumption. And that's the solemnity that we celebrate 40 days after Easter, the solemnity of the Ascension of Jesus. And that's when we commemorate how in the presence of his disciples, Jesus, 40 days after he was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven in his body. So we have these two solemnities that look very similar. The ascension of Jesus into heaven and the Assumption of Mary, body and soul, into heaven. So somebody asked me after Mass last night at Holy Family why we use two different words for these two feasts, why we say Jesus ascended and that Mary was assumed. And so I said, well, I guess I'll add that to the rest of my homilies for this weekend. But very simply, it's because Jesus, who is God, can ascend to heaven on his own power. But Mary, who's not God, who's a creature like you and me, Mary doesn't have the power to ascend into heaven. So God has to assume her into heaven. So it just marks the difference between how they are able to be taken up into heaven. Jesus can ascend there on his own power. Mary has to be assumed by God into heaven. So I think it's good for us, again, to help us to understand why it's good news for us that Mary is in heaven, body and soul. I think it's good for us to ask the question, why was it necessary for Jesus to leave earth and to ascend to heaven in his body to be with the Father? So thinking about the ascension of Jesus. So one of the interesting details about the ascension that we find in the scriptures is that after the disciples witness Jesus going up to heaven and in his body, they return back to Jerusalem overjoyed, which I think is an interesting detail. Jesus goes up, up, and away. Apparently, he leaves earth and leaves his friends, yet his friends are happy about it, which might seem kind of strange to us. Well, why are they happy that Jesus left? Well, it's because he had told them while he was still on earth that it's better for them that he leave them, and to that it's better for them that he go to heaven. So why was that? Well, it's because united with the Father in heaven, the Father and the Son will send the Holy Spirit into the hearts of the disciples so that each will be intimately united with Jesus because his own Spirit is going to dwell in them. So even though they're on earth and Jesus is in heaven, they're going to be closer to Jesus now that he's in heaven than they were when Jesus was on earth. So when Jesus was in Capernaum, for instance, if anybody wanted to encounter Jesus, they had to go to Capernaum. But now that Jesus is in God, in heaven, now every disciple has access to him. And not just like from a hand's distance, I can reach out and touch Jesus, but now Jesus' own Spirit actually comes into his disciples through the sacraments so that they can be closer to Jesus now that he's in heaven than they could be to him while they're on earth. And of course, this is true for us too. We're closer to Jesus than the disciples were when he was walking the earth. Why? Because through the sacraments, he comes right into us and achieves a union with us. So, now let's think about why God would want to bring Mary up into heaven to be with him. Well, when God brings Mary into heaven, what is heaven? Heaven, to be in heaven is simply to be in God. So God brings Mary into himself, and it's important for us to remember that heaven is not a place. Like Elon Musk isn't going to design a spaceship that's powerful enough to get to heaven. We aren't going to keep going up, 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 and finally we get far enough into space that we arrive at heaven. No, heaven is a place that's outside of space and time. We're never going to find it in outer space because God dwells outside of space and time. Space and time is his creature, so God isn't confined to the limits of space and time of the universe, but rather he stands, as it were, outside of it. And so when God takes Mary into himself, which is to what it means to go into heaven, that means that Mary is no longer bound by space and time like we are. And that's really good news. If I'm in Winsted, somebody isn't going to find me in Silver Lake or in Glencoe. But this isn't the case now for Mary either. Because she's been taken body and soul into heaven, that means now she's outside of the confining limits of space and time, such that in God, access to her opens up infinitely because she lives now in the infinite God. And so we can encounter her, each one of us, every time we talk to her. She can be perfectly present to each one of us. No matter if, I mean, I struggle to pay attention to one person sometimes when they're talking to me, but Mary is able to be equally and totally present to a million people talking to her at the same time. Why? Because she's not bound like we are anymore. She's not limited like we are to our own human capacities limited by space and time. She's in God, so now her heart is totally available and expanded to all of her children. So this is really good news for us. Jesus gives Mary to us as our spiritual mother on the cross. This is the meaning of that passage in John's Gospel when he says to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother," who's standing right next to him. And when he says to Mary, "Behold your son." And so the church has always interpreted this as Jesus giving us Mary as our spiritual mother. I've experienced Mary's spiritual motherhood in my own life. I especially think of when I was a seminarian studying in Rome, And every night before I went to bed, I would leave the building of the seminary and I would walk the perimeter of the grounds of the seminary and I would pray the rosary. And as I was missing my own human mother, who was back in Tyler, Minnesota, I was asking Mary to be my mother there, to be the mother that I needed. And I felt her motherly presence. I felt her love. I got to be very close to her during that time, as every day I would ask her for all sorts of things. And Mary wants to be this for each one of us. And she can be for each one of us. Why? Because she lives in God. And so she's available to each one of us, especially for those who have lost their earthly mother. We all need a mother. And so Mary wants to be that for each one of us, loving us, caring for us, bringing our concerns and our needs to Jesus, comforting us with her motherly presence. So today, as we celebrate this great solemnity of the Assumption, it's great cause for rejoicing that we have a mother in heaven, that Mary's alive in God, and that she knows us and understands us as her children. And she's so happy when we bring our needs to her, just like you're happy when your children tell you what's going on in their life or what's wrong in their life or ask for help. So much more, Mary is so pleased when we bring all of our needs to her, our Heavenly Mother.